Okay, I do this. This guy's about me, I'm the rudest. I send a message like a tech, forget the slide, I be direct. I said it how I meant it, don't condone, I'm just expressing. When I say that I'm the best, it's cause I really be excessive. Take a lesson, leave a message, I make less cause I'm in testing mode. But bet when stepping
what's
off the
good,
ledge,
I'm everybody.
Next to blow.
Except that I'm intentional. My mission, my thanks for tuning in on this beautiful Tuesday. Before we start off, quick reminder that today's episode is brought to you by CastBox. CastBox is the best podcast player and app you can use to find, save, download, and listen to your favorite podcasts, FM stations, and audiobooks. It is also a super easy way to create and publish your own audio content. So whether you want to do that from the intuitive online dashboard or through the app on your phone, go ahead. You can find it on the App Store or download it in the Google Play Store and begin exploring the awesome and intriguing world of ideas today. So check it out. CastBox, CastBox. All right, let's get it.
Gunning for the cash, I guess I gotta stack the wealth. Look, throw it on a shelf and dip, find someone to spend it with. I am she a model with a spirit like a wrecking ship. I don't go with the flow, but I flow when I wanna, man. Coming fam, I'm trying to dab your hand, but I tend to Daniel with a ampersand. Catch the family or catch a fan, steam up like Stanley or Dick the Ram. Be all you can be, don't stick to camera, can't stand me cool, that's the master.
So, in episode one, AKA yesterday, the word was awareness. And the main point that I wanted to communicate was that I think we need to begin shining a light on our subconscious baggage, like all the things that happen in the background that we don't really pay attention to. Yeah, those are the things that are actually determining how you act on a day-to-day basis. So we should begin paying attention to them, because all that crap is holding you back. It's holding us all back, really, collectively, but you individually, it's keeping you from fully engaging in your true self and being healed to the degree where you are now able to go out and add to the equation and not subtract from it. If you did listen to yesterday's episode, I hope you checked out those questions and really took it, even if you didn't write them down, just took a few seconds to think about them. And don't rush the process. You know, these things take time, but you really should begin to think about who you want to be and how you're going to get there. Or else you're just going to be pulled along with the current of current opinion. Anyway, the next step in this mission, if you are willing to accept it, build authentic community. Here's a fun fact. Every human being that has ever existed, like ever, is connected. Like, biologically. Genetically, yeah, but mentally as well. Our current modes of thinking could only have arisen given the correct preconditions of human thought over our entire history. So, literally, Leonardo da Vinci built out some of the neural pathways that we now use to think today. Our ancestors literally built out the neural highways that we now drive on. In a sense, the idea of us being a collectively conscious species is a scientifically verifiable one. Our brain chemistry evolved in concert with the greater human organism, and we're all taking part in this grand symphony. We are quite literally wired for community. Except, now it seems like we've traded that deep intimacy that our ancestors had, and instead, we snack on the empty calories of shallow connections and cheap attention. Which leads me to my question for today. Why do we need each other in 2020 and beyond? And I think it's an interesting question, because on its surface, it seems kind of silly, but I mean, really, what is the point of relationships? Is it just so we don't go insane, or is there something more to it? Because we have access to millions of people from these supercomputers in our pockets, yet we still suffer from loneliness in droves, and that doesn't make sense to me. We have enormous egos but flimsy senses of self-worth. You ever heard of the paradox of choice? It's this interesting phenomena that happens where the more options you have, the less satisfied you are. And it seems odd, but it actually works out that way. So, like, imagine going to get ice cream. Like, you're like, dang, I really want ice cream. I'm going to get some. So you walk over, and they only have vanilla or chocolate. So you're like, all right, I'm going to get chocolate because I like the better flavor, whatever. So you're looking down that chocolate ice cream cone, and you're enjoying it. You're walking back home. It was delicious. You get home. You lick it off your fingers. You're just in a state of bliss, right? Now, say you, same day, decided to instead go to a different ice cream store. And this ice cream store has not just two options. It's got like 25 options. You got your Rocky Road. You got your bubble gum. You got whatever flavor you could possibly think of. They got it, right? But you're still a fan of chocolate, so you go with the chocolate. But now you're walking home and you're thinking of that double fudge you could have gotten. You're thinking of that vanilla bean or that butter pecan. All of a sudden, that chocolate doesn't taste as great. It's still the same chocolate ice cream. But for some reason, this paradox of choice comes in. And we're a little bit less satisfied because we had more options. I think that's what's happening with relationships today. It's like all these potential connections are rendered useless because we can't really make a good choice. Or if we do make a good choice, we keep thinking of all the other potential choices we could have made. It's one of the reasons why grandma and grandpa stayed together forever. It's in part because they had no other choice. Due to culture, family, tradition, whatever. Once they tied the knot, that mug was secured, for better or for worse. But that's no longer the case. In a way, we actually have a higher responsibility now because love, real love, it requires the preconditions of rejection. Like, there has to be an opportunity for you to say no in order for your yes to mean something. Intimacy requires a decision being made, a decision to commit. Because to open up one's heart is no small matter, and to do so in the presence of someone who is committed to sharing in your brokenness and loving you anyway, that's divine. But right now, the system as constructed does not incentivize intimacy or love. Nah, that'd be way too easy. And you gotta work for what's real. So instead, disagreements become wedges. Debates become practices in one-upsmanship instead of platforms for truth. So if we are indeed wired for community, I think it's fair to say that our current model isn't working very well. Our global family is being impeded by fear and misunderstanding, blinded by money and power, enslaved by the opinions of other people. No wonder we're in a mental health crisis. To me, a mental disease is indicative of a lack of peace of mind. Because disease represents deviation from the norm. And so a mental disease is a form of misplaced understanding in a way. Think of the word dis-ease, aka uneasy or anxious. But not fundamentally flawed, just existing in the wrong context. You are existing in the wrong context for your infinite soul when you stay in relationships that don't fill your spirit, when you stay in environments that don't make you feel good, when you remain in places that drain your energy. The fact is, you want to be somewhere else. You want to be something else, but you're not. And you know it. In a sense, I think we all know it. But some of us are better adapted to the madness than others, and so they're okay with it. More power to them. Me? I've gotten comfortable being misunderstood. And even so, I realized something. Can't go on without you. Sounds all cheesy, but it's real. I need you to be me. It's kind of odd. I don't really know how to explain it. It's kind of like, in order for me to be my best self, it has to be contrasted with somebody else. I don't know. Because once I internalize that feedback loop, I just become biased to my own ways of thinking. And I'm not 100% right, or even 50% right. Most of the time I'm wrong. And so it's very helpful to have people who actually care about you, who are able to say, yo, you tripping. But absent that intimacy, that same statement, yo, you're tripping, is now an attack instead of somebody trying to encourage you, right? And therein lies the point of relationships in 2020 and beyond. To bring us back home to ourselves. Or at the very least, to allow us to be in a space where we feel comfortable being criticized. Real relationships that are rooted in encouragement, growth, and love are the kind that will survive this coming winter. And those kinds, unfortunately, are rare today. But I think we're beginning to wake up a little bit. Empathy and compassion, those will lead the way. Wisdom and understanding, those will pave the road. And all we need to do now is reconnect. Remember, we were created for connection. None of this bullshit Facebook stuff. I'm talking about real connection. Love. But the deepest forms of love cannot reveal themselves unless their polar opposites have become apparent. So, moments like these, where there's so much dissension and craziness going on in the world, they give us a chance to rise to our highest ideals. You can't forgive if no one offends. And in the same way, you can't truly love until you've been presented with the opportunity to reject. Relationships exist on a sort of continuum. And this isn't just me saying this. This is social psychologists and all the smart folks that came before me, right? You have fear on one end, love on the other end, and in the middle is indifference. Anywhere on this continuum, most of our relationships lie. The word of the day is community, as in to commune. I really like that word, commune. One definition I saw for it was to communicate intimately with, to be in a state of heightened, intimate receptivity. What would it look like if we began to be intimately receptive to one another? I don't know. I just think it's time we begin to move the needle a bit in our own lives. From rejection to acceptance. From fear to love. This episode of Hello, My Name Is was written, produced, and recorded by me, Tasa Muhammad Haruna. If you'd like to get in touch or have any questions or comments I can address in future episodes, I'm most active on Twitter, so hit me there at Tasso with 3 underscores. If you're more the emailing type, Tasso11793@gmail.com. Crazy, leave a review, download, subscribe, all that great stuff. So, oh, and also keep your eyes peeled for the new podcast I'm launching soon. Should be next week. It'll feature some dope conversations I've been having over these past few months. And also buy my book if you're feeling groovy. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon.
We have been given the scientific knowledge, the technical ability, and the materials to pursue the exploration of the universe. To ignore these great resources would be a corruption of a God-given ability.
I just feel like I'm real different. You feel me? See, you ain't never met one like me, like I pulled up in a pink sword. All the folks around me cut like I was holding link swords. Shacked in a fool, probably capping some too. Apologize for all the lies, it's time to perk in the truth. Now I'm changed up like Pedro Martinez.